If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, we're going to be looking at the first 14 verses today in a message that I have entitled, Failure to Fullness. Failure to Fullness. So if you will, turn over to John chapter 21. Now you can imagine, I've already received the lecture that I get every time that I come to the pulpit. My wife reminds me she's never heard a bad short sermon. And it's my goal not to disappoint. But I do want to treat this scripture right because I think there's a message here for all of us today. I know there is for me. You know, one of the greatest fears people have today is the fear of failure. And I don't know why, because the truth of the matter is we all fail, don't we? We all fail at something at some point in time in our life. We got these two big boxes at our house the other day full of patio furniture that wasn't put together. Yeah. Yesterday was an epic fail day. My son sometimes will send me these videos. They're entitled Epic Fails. Have you ever seen these things? They're kind of like what you would see on America's Family video, isn't that what it's called? You know, these crazy videos, he sends them to me, and the ones I like are these motorcycle riders who are trying to be Evel Knievel. And they may be good motorcycle riders, but they're terrible engineers because their ramp never goes high enough, right? Or they don't have a motorcycle large enough. You know how it goes. They try to jump a car just to end up in the passenger window. Those kind of fails. And then the other ones I like are when large people try to ride rope swings out into a lake. But they fail to realize that rope only has so much strength. And they never make it to the lake. And then there's always the ones, you know, where the dads are trying to teach their little boys how to play baseball. You know how that one goes, right? The dad puts the ball on the tee, and I never can imagine, why in the world didn't the dad get out of the way? But they don't do it. Epic fails. And you know, when you're watching these kind of videos, I just want to close my eyes and just hide from it because you can see the train wreck that's about to happen. But you can't help yourself. You got to watch, right? And as I'm watching, I'm sitting in my chair just kind of squirming and making these crazy noises while I'm watching because I don't want to see the people get hurt, but yet they're so, you know, foolish with what they're trying to do. You can't help but not watch. And so my wife will say, well, what are those noises you're making over there? I said, I can't help it. I'm watching these epic fail videos. And so, you know, she reminds me maybe I ought to watch something else. And so I'll put it down, but it's hard to do it. So it's hard to watch these videos. Sometimes they're funny, mostly troubling. But I tell you what's not funny is that quite often we face epic fails in our lives, don't we? No one likes to fail. No one wakes up in the morning, do they, and say, gee, I think I'd just love to fail today. That's not the way it works, is it? But we fail all the time. And so the longer we live, the more we're going to fail at something. And some of you know about failure more than others. You know about moral failures. You know about financial failures. You know about spiritual failures. But the longer that we live, all of us are going to fail at something at some time or the other. Now, failure is not always bad. We can learn a lot from our failures, can't we? The one thing that we learn from our failures is how limited we are. But what I hope we'll see from today that in spite of our limitations, God is good and God has great ability. And so from today's passage, we're going to learn that we may have or may be failing in some way. But it doesn't mean that we're failures. It just means that we have a choice to make. Either we can remain in our failure and pay the consequences that go along with that, or we can turn to Jesus and find His forgiveness and the hope that He gives us when we turn to him. And so in just a second, we're going to look at this passage, but let me just put it in context for you real quick. Just prior to this passage here in chapter 21, you know, Jesus is arrested by the Pharisees and the temple guard. Peter has, Judas has betrayed him. The guards arrest him. Peter has an epic fail where he denies Jesus. Jesus is crucified, buried, and rises from the grave. And then Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and the other women who followed him from Galilee. He then appears to some of his disciples. He comes back and appears to them again, except for this time Thomas is now there, who wasn't there the first time, and sees him. And then in Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, the disciples are told, Peter and the disciples are told, to go and meet Jesus in Galilee. And so that's where our passage picks up today. So follow along as I read the first 14 verses. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, why were they there? I take you back to what I said a second ago. In Matthew 28, the disciples were told to go to Galilee and wait for Jesus. And so when they went there, they just reverted back to what comes naturally for them. They fished, and this is where they are. Now, verse 4, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? Your translation may say friends or fellows. And they answered him, no. Now, let me just stop right there. Many of us know that question, don't we? More importantly, many of us know the answer, don't they? No. I've been there many times. So he says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And so just for a few minutes this morning, I first want us just to see what we can learn about failure through the life of Peter. Peter's life teaches us much about overcoming failure. When we read the scriptures, we know that Peter had more than his fair share of failure. And most of Peter's failure stemmed from simply not understanding the heart of Jesus. Peter was brash. He was impulsive. Peter would be like a modern-day Barney Fife or a Dwight Schrute. He was well-intended most of the time, but because of his action, he was known more for exceeding his abilities and his limitations. And I'd just like to share some verses with you just so we can see how Peter failed throughout his lifetime. In Matthew 15:16, for example, it was Peter who was confused and didn't understand about Jesus' teaching in the parable of the soils, and Jesus had to ask him a question. He asked him, are you still without understanding? Peter quite often was just confused. And in Mark 10:13, Peter and the other disciples tried to keep the children from coming to Jesus. And this is where I think Peter put on his Barney Fife attitude. You know, I can see the children coming to Jesus, and, you know, Peter's like, come on, kid, move it, move it, move it. And he just moves them along, not understanding that Jesus wanted the children to come to him. And when you read some of these failures of Peter, all you want to do is just cover your eyes because you see the train wreck coming, but you can't help it. You got to watch. This is what he's doing here. In Matthew 14, Peter attempts to walk on water, but you know what happens there? He takes his eyes off Jesus, and his faith is shattered. In Matthew 17 and Mark chapter 9, at the Transfiguration, this is an extremely holy moment where Jesus is trying to reveal his divinity. And once again, Peter misunderstands the moment and just makes this awkward statement that, hey, Lord, maybe we ought to build 3 shelters to commemorate this time. It came out of nowhere. It was not fitting for the moment. In Matthew 16, when Jesus informs the disciples of his purpose to die and atone for the sins of man, Peter tries to rebuke Jesus by saying, far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen to you. And Jesus needs to severely rebuke him. Again, he misunderstands. And he says, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but in the things of man. And then in John chapter 13, Peter completely misses the point of one of Jesus's most profound teachings about serving others as Christ served them. And Peter tells him, you'll never wash my feet. And you'll recall from that, Jesus has to strongly rebuke Peter again. And then probably Peter's most well-known epic fail was in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 18, where Peter denies knowing Jesus. So the fact that Peter failed to catch fish on this night of fishing is small potatoes compared to the many failures that he had throughout his life. And who would have ever thought that Peter would have been the one to fail Jesus? Peter was one of Jesus's 3 most trusted companions. Jesus himself gave Peter the name The Rock. For 3 years, he had been under his teaching and in the constant companionship of Jesus. So Peter's the last one we would ever think that would fail Jesus. But he did, and at the time when Jesus probably needed him the most. And so the question is, why did Peter fail? Why did Peter fail? Well, he failed for the same reasons we all failed. When you study those scriptures about Peter's failures, we see that sometimes Peter was simply confused. Peter relied more on his self-confidence than he did in the Lord sometimes. He didn't realize his own limitations. Peter was impulsive, and sometimes Peter was just focused on the wrong things. But what I love about this passage is that in spite of his failures, Peter recognized that faith is God's remedy for failure. Faith is the key to overcoming our failure. I want you to see what Jesus does in this passage. He gives Peter an invitation. He gives him an invitation to try things a different way. For he says, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And so here is an invitation to Peter to turn from his own self-confidence and limitations and trust in his unlimited ability and provision. All Peter had to do was to listen and act. And according to this passage, that's exactly what he did. He listened to Jesus and he acted. He dropped his net on the other side of the boat and he watched Jesus do for him what Peter could not do for himself. Jesus wanted Peter to know in that moment that he was greater than his failure. Remember the context now. Jesus had just died. He was buried and rose again. He was making his last appearances with the disciples before ascending to heaven. And Jesus wanted Peter to know that he died to pay the penalty for his sins and failures. Jesus was about to teach Peter that his faith in him was the only remedy for his failure. And I want to tell you something today about our own failures. Our failures will do one of two things to us. Our failures will either drive us to the forgiveness of God, or we will hold on to those failures and the guilt and the trouble that it brings us for way too long. And there's no need to do that because Jesus has died for our failures. But our failures will drive us to God for forgiveness, or we'll hold on to the failures of our past and live with the guilt, the regret, the heartache, and the turmoil that it brings. But Peter listened to Jesus, and because of that, he was blessed in abundance. He was blessed in fullness. Notice this. We see in the passage that when Peter responded to Jesus' invitation, Jesus responded in abundance with a large catch of fish. And this is really symbolic, this catch of fish, of the fullness that Jesus gives his followers. You know, that night, only 5 or 10 fish would have been sufficient for that night. Jesus had already provided some of the fish. They were on the grill cooking when he was there. And so just to feed the disciples, though we're there, just a catch of 5 or 10 would have been all that they needed to fill everybody's stomach. But instead, there was 153 fish. More than enough. Abundance. Fullness. Peter enjoyed the fullness of God's blessing that night because he acted in faith. And God blessed him. And what's so interesting to me about this is that, you know, remember what happened. Peter had just denied Jesus. Peter had just denied Jesus, but there the Savior was giving him an invitation and the other disciples to come to shore, to enjoy fellowship with him, for Jesus to have a few more minutes with them before he ascends into heaven. And all of this knowing that Peter had just denied him. All of this knowing that Peter had not denied him, but probably denied him at the time when Jesus needed him the most. And here's an amazing thing. You talk about fullness in the life of Christ. In the verses that follow, you know what happened? Jesus forgives Peter and restores Peter back to fellowship with himself and back to a life of ministry. Yes, Peter failed Jesus. But Peter found in Jesus the forgiveness and fullness that only the Savior could provide. Only Jesus could forgive Peter's failures and offer him grace and mercy. So the point is simple. Anything that we entrust to Jesus becomes fullness and abundance. I want you to hear this thought again. Anything that we entrust to Jesus becomes fullness and abundance. Now, there's an overwhelming thought that occurs to me as I read this passage and I read of Peter's failures. If Peter could fail Jesus, one of his closest friends, his closest companion, if Peter, who lived under the ministry of Jesus for 3 years and had the experiences that he did with the Savior and yet could still fail him, then it only stands to reason that I too can fail the Lord at times. And I think it only stands to reason that you can fail the Lord at times. And I don't know what your failures are, and you don't know what my failures are, but we all have them. The longer we live, the more likely it is we're going to fail at something. Life is filled with failures of all types. As I've already said, life is filled with moral failures. Life is filled with relationship failures. Life is filled with professional failures and financial failures and even spiritual failures. You know what I hate about failure? Failure brings me face to face with my limitations and my inabilities. I just realized that I'm not who I think I am. And that's a cold slap in the face sometimes when we find out we're not who we think we are. And I don't know about you, But sometimes for me, my failures hurt so bad that I have a hard time even forgiving myself. Have you ever been there? You had a failure that's gripped you so hard that you just simply have a hard time forgiving yourself of that failure? Our failures will either drive us to God for forgiveness, or we will hold on to the hurt and the guilt and the regret of our failures way too long and pay the consequences that come for doing so. And so my question this morning is, how are we going to deal with our failures of the past? How are we going to deal with our failures of the past? You see, what we learn from this passage is that Jesus Christ offers us forgiveness and a new beginning. That's what he did for Peter with his invitation to cast his net on the other side. He offered him an opportunity for forgiveness and a new beginning. And so I think there comes a time when we need to cast our net on the other side, just like Peter did. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all of our sins and all of our failures. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He already paid the price for our failures. And we can turn to him in faith today and find forgiveness and healing. But I tell you what we all need to quit doing today. We need to quit holding on to something that Jesus has already died for and forgiven you for. So when you turn to Jesus like Peter did, you will find a fullness in life that only God can provide. Fullness or abundance is a promise to us from Jesus himself. You know this from John chapter 10, verse 10. And there he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." So anything we entrust to Jesus becomes fullness or abundance. You know this from your reading of Scripture. You remember what happened in John chapter 2 with the wedding in Cana? They ran out of wine, but when they put water into Jesus' hand, there was an abundance. There was fullness. It wasn't just wine. It was the good stuff, and there was a lot of it, more than enough. Helps us understand why weddings last a week in the first century too, doesn't it? Yeah. But in John chapter 6, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread in the hands of Jesus became a meal for thousands. In John chapter 9, there was a blind man who was destitute and condemned to a life of poverty, but in the hands of Jesus, he found healing and wholeness. In John chapter 11, Lazarus had died, but in the hands of Jesus, he found life. And so my question for you today is, what do you need to place into the hands of Jesus today? What do you need to place into the hands of Jesus today? You see, there is no promise when I speak of fullness. There's no promise of material things or of great wealth. There's promise of greater things than that. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us love and guidance. Jesus gives us hope. And he gives these things to us in abundance. And so I ask again, what do you need to place into the hands of Jesus today? As I begin to close, I'd been thinking through this message for some while, and as it would turn out, last week I was performing a wedding in Mississippi. And we were staying at the same hotel as the groom's family, and I got to meet the father of one of my closest friends. I think it was a divine encounter. He's a converted Catholic man. He loves the Lord today, but his life is so full of regret and heartache, and all stems to an incident that occurred in his life years ago. You see, my friend's dad was married once before for a very short while. It's right when he came back from the Korean War, He was married, and in that short time, they had a child, and he never even knew about it. Never even knew about it. He didn't know that the child existed until she was almost 20 years of age. The young lady actually reached out to him because she wanted to have a relationship with him. And so through all these years, they met, they have a relationship, but not one that he would really like to have, but it's because she was raised by her mom and another man in her life, but she still reached out to him and wanted to know him. And I'm sitting in that hotel restaurant area of the lobby, and he's telling me this story, and he's moved to tears. And this is what he said to me. I feel like a failure. I feel like a failure. And I said, help me understand. Why do you feel like a failure? And he said, man, I've got so much guilt. He said, I have so much heartache. He said, if I would have only known, I would have loved to have been a great dad. I would have loved to have had a better relationship with her. And I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? And he said, I am a Christian. And his story is quite fascinating. Like I said, he is a converted Catholic that loves the Lord and walks closely with the Lord now. And I said, bro, you've got to learn to forgive yourself for the things that Jesus has already forgiven you of. You've got to quit holding on to the things that he died for and forgave you of a long time ago. And I said, here's the problem. You're robbing yourself of so much joy and peace. And more than that, even a better relationship with this daughter that you want to be even better connected with. And his tears were cascading down his face as he was telling me this story. It just made me realize that failure doesn't just happen to young people. It happens to all of us. And sometimes we carry it even into our latest years. And with it comes a lot of regret and heartache and heartbreak. And I think of what the message of the hour tells us this. We don't need to carry those failures with us another day. Some of you here today, and you're resonating with what I'm talking about. And when you look back on your own life, you just kind of want to hide yourself from it. You don't want to look at yourself for who you really are and your failures, but you can't help it because it's your life. And you just want to cover up your eyes and your face and try to ignore it and get away from it, but you can't do it because it's real. And you just want to cover up your face and hide from all the guilt and the heartache that keeps flashing through your mind because it hurts so bad. But you can't because it's your life. And quite often when we get to that stage, we start to squirm and make funny noises when we think about it, but it's not laughter and hilarity like watching some funny video. It's more pain and tears and crying of hurt and heartache. When it's real, we can't get away from it. But the Lord has provided a way out. Faith is the remedy to our failures. And what I want you to understand today is there is no reason to carry a failure with you 1 minute longer. Jesus died for our failures. He died for our sins. He gave us a way to know him and have a personal relationship with him. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for every sin that we committed, for every failure that we committed. And he doesn't want us to hold that inside. He wants us to bring that to him. We need to quit holding on to things that he died for a long time ago. He's already forgiven you. And so I ask you this morning, are you willing to forgive yourself? Are you having a hard time forgiving yourself of a failure? Friends, we all fail. The longer we live, it's inevitable. We're going to fail at something. But Jesus says today, I'm here. I'm here. Bring your failure to me. And I pray that you'll do that and find in him the forgiveness and the healing and the encouragement and the love that only he can give you. Anything that we place into the hands of Jesus becomes fullness. And today he wants to fill you with his love, his joy, his peace. He wants to give you life. Will you turn it over to him today and go from your failure to a life full of fullness in Jesus?